Start. I've known Baba since childhood. My first recollection is maybe I was about 6 or 7. I think that was the time when Baba first visited our house in Quetta in 1922 or 23, when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And I remember Baba, all the cooked food used to be placed in front of Baba, and Baba himself would serve the food to all. So we would all go with our plates to Baba, and Baba would serve the food to us. Baba was talking then, but I don't remember his voice. And from that time, maybe after every two or three years, once in a while, we used to see Baba. When I was about 14, Baba visited our house again, just before his first visit to the West. And we are 5 sisters and 2 brothers, so, and we all were in our early teens then. I was about 14, and then Baba would play games with us, game of carom or other games. Baba had lived in our house for a month or so. And sometimes Baba would take us to the cinema. Baba would be going in a tonga with the mandali, and we would be riding on a bike behind, following the tonga. But Baba would not sit through the picture. He would just, after half the picture was over, Baba would come out, and so we also had, and we were very sort of in those days sorry that Baba wouldn't finish seeing the picture. We didn't want to leave the picture house, but still when Baba came out, we'd go with him. When I was about 14 or 15, then Baba gave me strict orders that I must lead a very pure life, must not, I could be friends with boys, but I must not lead, what do you call it, a sexual life, or I must not kiss men, and must not touch them unnecessarily unless it was very absolutely necessary, just like shaking hands. And every few years when we'd meet, Baba would ask me, am I obeying his orders? And then I always had in my mind that I would become a medical doctor, and so I did when I graduated in 1944, I wrote Baba that I had finished and become a doctor, and I would like to come and stay with him. And Baba called me, and I stayed with him for about 3 months, and Baba sent me back to finish, to get more experience as a doctor, to do my internship in the hospitals. So I went and did that in Bombay, and in 47 I came back. And from 1947 I've lived permanently with Baba. So I first, Baba at that time was in Satara in 47, June. And Baba told me that I should go there, get all my medical certificates and go there. And at that time Elizabeth and Norina arrived in Satara. So Baba told me to look after Norina, who was not very well then. And I was taking care of Norina medically. And then Baba told me to join the missionary hospital there, because they were very much in need of a doctor. So I used to go and work there in the missionary hospital. And Baba made me give them the impression that I would be working for them permanently. So the superintendent of the hospital, you see, she asked me to get all the medicines. And after 2 months, Baba said that we were leaving Satara, so I had to give notice to the hospital. They were quite upset about it, that I was leaving the hospital. Anyway, when we came, after Satara, we came to Mehrazad. And the first job that Baba gave me here was to look after the poultry. I had never handled even a chicken in my life. And here I had to look after the poultry. And there was quite a lot of poultry and ducks. And I didn't know anything about them, so I had to get a book and study how to make their nest boxes and how to feed them. And it was fun, but at first, I think that was a lesson Baba was, about my ego of being a medical doctor, that I should be doing this kind of job. And then I had the job of being an errand boy, because I used to go in between the mandali and the women's quarters, the men's and the women's quarters. And any bazaar or any message that was to be, Kaka would ring the bell, I had to come from the women's side, be at the gate here, and take in any parcels or bags of food, whatever it was. Or if Baba wanted me, they'd ring the bell and then I'd come. And if there was anything that Baba wanted, like a glass of water, or if he wanted to convey some message to Mehra, then I would go back and forth like that. In Bombay for my medical career, Baba had given me, Baba told me that I could visit him during the holidays wherever Baba was. So I was in Bombay studying from the year 1938 to 1944. So during those years, wherever Baba was, I would, instead of going home to my parents, I'd always go to wherever Baba was. And this Baba did not allow to everyone except myself, the Dada Chanji family, and a few others. At that time, my younger sister Katie was living in the ashram with Baba, but I was studying and I would go only during my holidays. So I was a few times when Baba was in the Blue Bus tour in places like Aurangabad and Jabalpur and Nagpur. And so, and in 1949, when Baba announced that he would be going on the new life, in the new life, he'd take only four women with him. At that time, there were so many women disciples up in Mehrabad. We, few of us, were staying with Baba in Mehrazad. And Baba did not reveal the names of the women that he would take, but he said he'd take only four. Well, I thought, I was just a newcomer to the ashram, so I'm sure Baba would never take me. He'd take those who have lived with him. Of course, it was quite certain that Baba would take Mehra and Mani with him, and Mehru, and the fourth person, I said, maybe Khorshid or someone who has Naja or someone who has lived with Baba since their early teens. So every day we'd go from Mehrazad to Mehrabad, where Baba would hold meetings with the men mandali, with the women mandali, but he would not reveal the names of who he was going to take. So every day on our return to Mehrazad, I'd feel very sad and depressed, and I didn't feel like going back into the world. I said, if Baba doesn't take me, well, I thought I'd just end my life. What use was living in the world? And one day I was standing in the corner of the garden watering the plants, and Baba was standing on the veranda. Mehra was by his side, and Baba was just watching me, and I was very depressed with my head down. I was just slowly watering the plants and then thinking, you know, sort of, if Baba didn't take me, I'd just end my life. I wasn't going back into the world again. So just then Baba clapped, and, you know, the sign for Baba to call your attention was to clap. And he clapped and I looked up, and then Baba called me near him and I went. And then Baba said, "What were you thinking about?" I said, "Baba, nothing else." Then Baba said, "Come on, tell me, what were you thinking?" So I said, "Baba, I was just feeling very sad. I know that you won't take me in the new life with you, and I said I'd end my life." So Baba turned to Mehra and said, "Look at the fool, she's mad, this woman." You know, he pointed with the sign, "This is the sign for the mad. She's mad," he said. Then he said, "Of course you're going with me." And that was the happiest, I think that was the happiest day or moment of my life. Then of course we were with Baba in new life, and all the time. Then about Baba's physical illness, since I've been with Baba, I've seen Baba ill in so many different phases. One thing I had noticed, that Baba would fall seriously ill before any darshan program, before any large darshan program. And the moment the darshan program was on, Baba would be in his full glory, very radiant, looking very beautiful. And I mean, if we told anybody or the people who came for the darshan or Baba lovers that Baba was very ill, they wouldn't believe us, because I mean, what they saw of Baba was so healthy and full of vigor and vitality, and I mean so energetic. I always had a very delicate stomach, and I think that was mostly due to the so many fasts that he had. See, Baba, all the years that I have been, Baba was fasting off and on, every 2 or 3 months Baba would be on a fast, so much so that we'd all get so tired of all the fasts that Baba would be on. Sometimes actually Mehra and all of us would say, "Baba, let us fast instead of you. Why can't we do the fasting?" Because I mean, there was barely any, in a few months Baba would eat sort of well, but then again he would be on a fast, and that sort of had atrophied his stomach and the intestines, so that Baba couldn't eat much. And he had indigestion and burning all the time, retrosternal burning and excess of acidity, and that used to bother him quite a lot. During new life, Baba would be walking and the sandals had caused quite big blisters on Baba's feet, so that it was very painful for him to walk. So that late in the evenings, then we'd soak Baba's feet in hot water and apply some Vaseline, and even with those blisters, Baba would walk miles and miles. When I first came to Baba, I, like so many people who do not know about perfect masters or the avatar, assumed that Baba is the avatar, and being, the personification of perfection, was beyond being affected by ill health or usual things that affect ordinary human beings. Baba then explained that perfect master assumes the illness, whilst he, being the avatar, must undergo all the physical pain and discomfort and illness which the ordinary human body has to undergo. So through the years, because of the strenuous must work and many fasts that Baba undertook, his digestion was seriously affected, and I treated him accordingly. Naturally, when the damage was done, and the treatment could only be palliative and not a cure. There were, in the earlier days, in the year 47-48, when I first came, Dr. Neelu Godse was also there, Dr. Donkin was also there. So we three, during any of Baba's serious illness, we three used to consult each other and do whatever we could to alleviate Baba's pain and suffering. There were times when Baba let the illness run its course, but at times, due to particular work, we would find the ailment suddenly and miraculously vanish, and Baba would be his radiant self. This has happened on many occasions. As time came closer, Baba seemed to take on more bindings on himself, visible and invisible, and we used to always feel so helpless because we could not help Baba in any way. I would many times I would say, Baba, what use is my knowledge as a medical person when I cannot do anything to relieve or to help you or to lessen your pain or to lessen your suffering? And Baba would often say, this is the load he alone could carry. So as Baba's doctors, we tried our best, but we could do very little. Whilst at work, either must work or poor work, the universal work or the seclusion, Baba did not spare his body. My work comes first, Baba would say, and he would neglect his body. So many times we'd persuade Baba to eat well, because we knew that the fast was affecting his health very badly, but then Baba would refuse. He'd say that he has to finish his work. All the illnesses that Baba went through were like the illnesses that any man would suffer, but Baba did not complain so much, and Baba would carry on his daily work in spite of his being very seriously ill. He would go to the mandali, men mandali, and be with them, sit with them, do his work there, listen to the correspondence or dictate whatever points he had to dictate. Then when he came to the women's side, Baba would go on with his usual routine. Yes, before any mass darshan, a great darshan program, Baba would become very seriously ill. Like in 62 East-West gathering, just before the East-West gathering, Baba was very ill. First in Mehrazad, and he would get the same type of spasms, muscular spasms that he got during 68, 69, and at that time I was terribly worried. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I felt I alone could not take on the responsibility of Baba's illness. So I persuade Baba, just say, Baba, how can I, all the lovers all over the world will ask me, why didn't I give the proper treatment? And I said, I feel very nervous. So in the end, Baba would say, all right, then I would call Dr. Donkin, take his advice. But then Baba would take on this very serious illness, and I noticed that just before as soon as the darshan program started, Baba would be quite normal, absolutely normal, and all the tiredness, the fatigue, although he would look so beautiful and his radiant and glorious self. And the news that we would be sending to the Baba lovers all over the world, saying that Baba was very ill and it was not possible for him to give the darshan, maybe that the darshan program would be cancelled and Baba has become very weak. Actually, when they came for the darshan and saw Baba, they thought, we were exaggerating, and Baba was not at all ill, and they would come and tell us that, why did you fool us like that? Baba doesn't look ill, he looks so beautiful and he looks so pink. And actually it happened, that's what happened in 69, because we all the time in our mind was the great darshan of April and May, and we thought that similarly Baba would get well. But then we were taken quite aback with what happened. 1960, when Baba was on a fast of 7 days, only on water. And then suddenly Baba complained of burning pain on the right side of his face. The next morning we discovered that the whole face, one side of the face, was full of blisters, and Baba had developed herpes zoster of that side of the face. And Baba's tongue and the holes inside the throat also were blisters. It was very difficult for Baba to swallow anything. In spite of that, Baba continued with his fast on water. Although we'd say, Baba, then you need something nourishing and something like milk to grease your parts, and that Baba, with all that illness, used to have very high temperature, and the pain of the blisters must be excruciating, because we could see how much Baba suffered. We could see the sign of suffering on his face, but there was very little we could do. In spite of that, Baba would carry on with his daily routine, his fast on water only, and he would come to the mandali and do his routine work. The blisters on his face were terrible, and later they formed crusts, and And after the whole thing had cleared up, Baba had terrible neuralgic pain on that side of the face. So much so that he couldn't expose it to air or draft or any wind. And it was a trigeminal neuralgia, and at the same time, due to the blisters in his throat and on the tongue, it was very difficult for Baba to swallow. But Baba completed his fast of 7 days on water, and then gradually started taking a little nourishment in the form of coconut water. Baba never liked milk, because he had already fasted so many times on milk, and even fruit juice he did not like so much. So he'd take weak tea and coconut water or dal water. For his neuralgic pain, then there was very little that we could do, so we had to consult Dr. Ginde from Bombay, and that is the first time that Dr. Ginde, Baba permitted Dr. Ginde to come and see him in Mahrasat, and he came, and then he gave an injection to Baba, which gave some relief, but it wasn't instantaneous, because first it caused excruciating pain, so much so that when Ginde left, I had to send a message to him that what he had done was cause more pain to Baba than give him relief. After that, after a few days, the pain gradually lessened and Baba was relieved. We had to tell everything that, I mean, Baba, all the bazaar chits or whatever it was, and Baba knew, we had to tell Baba whatever we wanted. And when I was taking care of the poultry in Mahrasat, I had to get their food, which was, what was that, meal, some sort of a meal that was given to the chickens. And one day it finished, and I knew that we had to get it all the way from Nagar, so I was quite desperate. And Baba was at that time talking to some Baba lover from Calcutta, Murthy. And Baba was sitting in Kaka's room on his bed, and Murthy was standing in front of him, and Baba was giving him a discourse on some plane, about some plane, for the seventh plane or something. Well, I didn't wait to listen, I just came from the other side of the house and I stood in the doorway and I said, Baba, the chicken feed is finished and we need some more supplies, without, I mean, thinking of who the person was with Baba and what Baba was talking about. Baba was so seriously talking, and suddenly Baba sort of, you know, had smiled and looked at me, and then he looked at the person and says, see, from the seventh plane I have to come down again to this level to find out if the chicken feed is there or not. And then Baba laughed, and then when he went inside, he told Mehra and Mani, see what Gawair is like, I mean, she doesn't even wait to listen to what type of conversation I'm having with someone, and she barges in with this type of a talk. Anyway, Baba was quite amused. Like when we were in Dehradun, Baba was complaining of some pricky, gritty sensation in his eyes. So I consulted an ophthalmic surgeon there in Dehradun, who put some penicillin drops in Baba's eyes, and suddenly Baba became allergic to those drops. So both his eyes were inflamed, got terribly inflamed, so Baba couldn't even see, open his eyes. And it became so painful. For more than 7-10 days, Baba was in great intense pain. All day long we were sort of fermenting, washing Baba's eyes with lukewarm boric water. Baba couldn't even open his eyes, and No, Baba wouldn't ask us to fast, but when he gave orders, then we would fast. Sometimes, on any day that Baba would ask us to fast, we would fast. In those earlier days, I think in 47 or 48, there was we had fasted for 1 month, but with one meal a day. Then when we used to see Baba suffer like that, we used to feel so helpless, standing in front of him. We knew that we couldn't do anything to lessen his pain or to take on his suffering. We knew that Baba alone was suffering for all of us. And that used to give us so much pain. But throughout this suffering, Baba looked quite calm, and so he wouldn't behave like an ordinary man, or he wouldn't, but he would patiently bear any pain, or patiently go through the suffering, physical suffering, I mean, whatever it was. And put Baba's leg in a traction, and with that Baba was more comfortable, and we were also sort of very relieved to see that stiff horrible thing being removed from Baba's person. And for so many days Baba was in traction, Colonel Chatterjee used to come, then gradually the traction was removed, Baba was made to sit, and then one thing that Baba would do is, see, Baba would complain of pain, excruciating pain in the leg, and then I'd get frantic and I'd tell Don, call Colonel Chatterjee, because Baba is getting terrible pain in his leg, in the joint. And Don would go and call the surgeon, and when the surgeon came, Baba would smile at him as if there is nothing. Then Baba would sit up in bed, dangle his legs free, you know, and Colonel Chatterjee would sort of, you know, look me up and down, meaning to say, why are you so fussy? The patient doesn't seem to be having any pain. And the moment he left, Baba would again complain of pain, and he'd become, you know, so helpless, and he'd say that he can't sit up and he can't move his leg. And I noticed that Baba would do that with me whenever I wanted to consult any outside doctor. You know, as Baba would be in pain, but whenever the outside doctor came, Baba would show that he is absolutely all right. There's no pain, there's nothing wrong, the matter with him. The same thing would happen when I would consult Dr. Grant from Pune, who during the last, in December and January, so I used to consult him, and Baba would permit me to consult him and call him to see Baba. I used to tell Grant that Baba is getting these spasms, these muscular spasms in the body. But during the time that Grant would be with Baba, Grant would be sitting by Baba's bedside, I would be also there, Don would also be there, Baba would start giving a long, long discourses to Dr. Grant without getting a single spasm. We used to look so wonderful. And here I was, you know, when I would come, before I took Grant to see Baba, you see, I would tell Grant that Baba is getting these spasms, please examine him properly, tell me what else, I'm giving him such and such a treatment, please tell me now what else, would you like to suggest something else? But when Grant went, he did not see Baba get any spasm. So he thought I was just exaggerating, maybe I saw one spasm or some such thing. But I insisted that Baba got continuous spasms. Baba was so restless, each spasm was so painful, so excruciating painful. But when he was sitting there for an hour or two, mind you, when that's a serious and severe illness, Baba was giving him such a wonderful, beautiful discourse, with all the gestures, and I mean, Erich and other Mandali were translating it, I mean, interpreting it for Baba. And Baba did not get a single spasm during that time. So Grant thought I was just exaggerating. And here I was so desperate, I would say, may I give? Yes, give it if you think it's necessary. He thought I was just, why should he suggest something which he hasn't seen Baba get, you see? And that used to make me feel so helpless, you see, because I knew I was so afraid of giving some medicines, which I thought whether I should I give it or not, because I was not so experienced like these consultants. So I wanted to make sure whether this should be used or not. But then, you see, Baba behaved in this way, and they thought that there's nothing the matter with Baba. I mean, what's wrong with Baba, and why am I exaggerating his symptoms? And that's how I used to get so frantic. I just didn't know what was... That's how Baba used to play the trick, because he didn't wish to be treated for us. Put it on. What? Put it on? Let me think. On 30th also, when Dr. Grant came, I was just begging of him. I said, please suggest something for all these spasms, the continuous muscle spasms that Baba is getting. Should we get an oxygen cylinder? Will Baba get a respirator?